Welcome, Oracle fans, to the Oracle Report, a weekly podcast about Delphi Community High School athletics. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni. This is our 11th episode, recorded on the evening of Monday, October 11th. Let's start this week, like we will every week, with our outstanding Oracle performance of the week. This week, it is freshman cross-country runner Sarah Perry of the girls cross country team, who finished 17th in sectional action. She ran a time of 21 minutes 30 seconds, which was a personal best for her, and it was achieved on a very difficult course. She now advances to the regional on that very same course this Saturday and has an excellent chance to possibly make it out of regionals and go to New Prairie High School for cross country semi-state. We've had a chance to talk to Sarah today during our OT period. Here's what she had to say about her success on Saturday. I am now joined by this week's performance of the week. Sarah Perry ran a beautiful race on Saturday in the cross country sectionals. Congratulations on advancing to the regionals.
Oh, thank you.
So you finished in 17th place, which was good enough for you to advance to this regional. The field was very tough. It's a real tough sectional. Talk about the competition you faced.
So running against Lafayette girls, and they're obviously really fast, and like it'd been raining a lot, so the course was really muddy, but it was, the hills were kind of hard too.
So you had a difficult field to run against, a difficult course, some conditions, and yet you ran the race in 21:30, which cut off us a lot of time. It was a personal best. What do you see going forward as you go back to that very same track for the regionals?
I'm hoping to drop some more time so I can definitely move on to semi-state, but we'll have to see. Because some other girls were running slower times at a flat course, but I was on a hilly course and I ran a pretty good time, so hoping to move on.
So you have the regionals. You've had a very successful freshman campaign as a runner. How exciting is it to have this level of success early in your career?
It's really exciting, but it's a lot of pressure to do better in the future because, like, I know I have to do better, but it's exciting to do good my freshman year.
Well, Sarah, we're very proud of you. Congratulations on advancing, and we look forward to Saturday's results, and hopefully we can talk again next week.
All right, thank you.
Congratulations, Sarah. Just an outstanding young lady and a freshman with a lot of success yet to come in the next few years. This week in Oracle Athletic News, make sure that you know the football game Friday is the last game of the regular season. It's at home against Taylor at Berto Field this Friday. It will also be live stream as the athletic department is trying to bring people who cannot attend the game in person the game via the internet. On YouTube, look for info on how to access that information on the athletic website and on Twitter. Also announcing, the Oracle football team drew a home game for opening round of sectional play, and that will they will host the Lewis Cass Kings on Friday, October 22nd. Put that on your calendar. Next week is our fall break. We will not have an Oracle Report podcast to remind you, so put a reminder on your phone, Friday, October 22nd, to get back out to Berto Field to support the Oracle football team in sectionals. As the fall season is wrapping down, not a lot of teams are in action, but football improved their record to 5-3 on the season with a really tough, hard-fought win at Clinton Central last Friday. They were down 14-13 late and were able to tie the game at 20 with a late touchdown drive down the length of the field, and they were able to hold on to force overtime. And the Oracles were able to win in triple overtime, 34-26, to improve that record, as we said, to 5-3. We spoke with the quarterback of the Oracle football team, Cade Nelson, about the win. And also, Cade is going to be doing a lot of podcasting with us on this and in bracketology, so you'll be hearing Cade quite a bit in the future. Here's what Cade had to say about the exciting triple overtime win. Okay, now I'd like to introduce to you a voice that you will hear on this podcast going forward and on our Delphi Bracketology broadcast. It's Junior Cade Nelson. Cade, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Cade's going to be going into sports journalism, so we're going to have him do a lot of the interviews and things going forward. So this is his first venture into the Oracle Report. But we're going to talk to Cade about his great come-from-behind triple overtime win on Friday night. Cade, besides doing all the great things for Bracketology and Parnassus, is the quarterback of our Oracle football team, which now has 5 wins on the season. You had a drive at the end of the game. Tell me what that feels like, being a quarterback and leading that drive.
I mean, it's pretty cool to, like, see how everyone can win as a team and see how happy everyone gets when we can put a drive together like that at the end of the game.
So the game goes into overtime, 20-20, and you end up winning in the third overtime. What's your thoughts as that overtime, those sets of overtimes are progressing? What's the pressure like?
I mean, on me there wasn't really much pressure, but Coach M really put the pressure on our O-line to be able to get a push and score, and I was just thinking, like, if we score, all we need is one stop. So I was really relying on the defense too.
And the overtime in high school is you set the ball at the 10 and you get a series of downs to score from the 10, so it makes it interesting play. It's just one first down in order to go. Cade, you're sitting with 5 wins with 1 more to go. You had your sectional draw. What are the goals for you personally and for the team going forward as you complete the season?
I think for us, our goal is to just build a little more confidence going into the sectional, to have as much momentum as we can to win and keep moving forward. And for me, it's just to play smart every weekend and, like, not have any mistakes.
So you're learning, you're leading a team in your first year as a starter. We wish you nothing but luck going forward. Continue the good work.
Thank you.
Volleyball has concluded their regular season and will begin sectional play this week at Rossville. Cross country, both teams finished their season at the sectional. Both the girls and boys cross country took part at the Tippecanoe Amphitheater, a really tough course in Lafayette. The teams did combine to have 5 personal bests on the day. And we mentioned earlier that Sarah Perry was so successful that she was the only runner to advance. We want to acknowledge Connor Roberson, Colin Doolin, Corbin Krebs as senior runners on the boys' team. They finished their careers on Saturday. They're outstanding runners and leaders for us here at Delphi High School, and they will be greatly missed next season. On the schedule this week is Thursday volleyball, a sectional at Rossville, Friday football game versus Taylor at home, October 22nd football game at home in the sectionals, and Sarah Perry, our excellent cross-country runner, running at regionals Saturday, this Saturday. So now it's time to talk to Coach Merchkevich again in the Coach's Corner segment. And Coach has got 5 victories on the year, and he had an interesting way of winning in triple overtime. Enjoy the interview. I'm joined now by Coach Merchkevich of the Oracle football team. And Coach, you were able to win your 5th game Friday night. Maybe the outcome was what you wanted, but it took a while to get going, and maybe the style of play or how you played wasn't what you wanted, but it's got to be pretty nice that in a game like that, you did find a way to win.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again, Brian. And you're absolutely right. The end result on Friday was what we wanted. Of course, it's always great to get a win and to keep stacking in that column, regardless of the circumstances or, you know, how you had to go about getting there. But yeah, we should have probably not been in that position. The 3 overtimes and all that, having to claw back in the fourth quarter with under 2 minutes left and all that. Now, while I don't think that we played particularly well, I am very proud of my guys in terms of how they, you know, kept swinging, like we always say, and how they showcased that dedication and resilience and grit that I've been talking about with you all year. So, that was very good to see, and we're going to need to capitalize on that mindset as we move into or closer to the playoffs.
So it came down to a situation where there was a decision on the other side to go ahead and score a touchdown and try to win it with a 2-point conversion when they could have eaten a lot of that clock, maybe all of that clock with some kneel downs. So as a coach, without talking about that decision, how do you prepare for game-like situations like that Do you have scenarios? Have you talked with your staff? Do you have a person in charge of time and that to remind you, or is that just something that you're going to go by each game as situations occur?
Well, as a staff, the coordinators are responsible for timeouts during their possessions, during their series. So, and as the offensive coordinator, as well as the head coach, I always simulate 2-minute situations every Thursday during practice. And when they decided to go ahead and score from the 1-yard line with 2:19 left in the fourth quarter, I told my guys immediately, you know, it's a 1-possession game right now, fellas. I mean, we've got an opportunity to go tie it up. We had, you know, by the time the ensuing kickoff, you know, had taken place, it was just over 2 minutes and we had 0 timeouts. So, I mean, that's the kind of high stress, high, you know, high energy situation that everybody wants to be a part of on a Friday. And that's, it's kind of funny that that's how it played out, because at halftime, where we left so many big play, chunk play opportunities on the field in the first half, which contributed to our general offensive deficiencies. And my talk at halftime was primarily, outside of the X's and O's things and the adjustments we are making, was primarily just about who's going to be the guy. You know, who's going to be the guy to step up and make plays? Who's not going to sit around and, you know, look to the guy lined up next to him and say, are you going to make this play? The guy who's just going to take it upon himself and make something happen. And we had a couple guys that did that on that final drive, which is very cool to see. I mean, Walker Jones, who's a freshman playing his first varsity action on the offensive side of the ball, you know, hooked up with Kay Nelson on a 12-yard completion, our first snap of that series. And then, you know, a couple plays later was in the end zone after a 30-yard touchdown to tie the game. So it was very cool to see a young guy like that really kind of step into the spotlight and start doing some of the things that we knew he could do. That's why we, you know, put him in that spot. So again, it's all about the resilience. It's all about, you know, the heart of this team. And there are several guys I can keep calling out. The pass protection was fantastic on that final drive. Clint Central blitzed us obsessively, and we were able to keep the quarterback clean for the most part on that series. And after our running back went out of the game, it was pivotal in the pass protection scheme that we tend to run, our 6-man pro. We had to put in a sophomore, Javon Frost, to fill in for him. And that's a high-stress situation, because you make one mistake and the quarterback's on his back and now we're behind the chains. And that's the one thing you really can't do outside of turn the ball over when you're running 2-minute drills with no timeouts, is you cannot take a sack. So Javon stepped in and played big-time ball on both sides of, you know, in all three phases of the game, really. And, you know, he's just another example of someone who's bought into the program and is, you know, doing what we ask of him. And that's all we can – as a coach, that's what you can really hope for.
So you go to overtime, and in high school football, you get a series of downs from the 10-yard line, and you alternate offense and defense. Everyone has one shot at it. And there were some big plays made both on offense and defense in order to secure the victory. In the third overtime, you score to go up 8, and then you had a stop. But you also had a key 2-point stop there in one of the overtimes to push it into the second overtime. So big plays just seemed to – once you got moving there, offense and defensively, you guys stepped up and continued to make big plays, as you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was kind of – I had never been – me personally, never been part of a high school overtime game as a player or coach or anything. So when we decided to go ahead and kick the PAT on our last touchdown to tie the game up, to play for overtime, I was thinking to myself, wait a second, what exactly does this look like? And when after the coin flip, we realized what the situation was like. And, you know, we decided just to put the ball in the hands of, you know, our dudes and ride or die with those guys. So Cooper Kinsler got, I think it was 12 consecutive carries on in overtime. And yeah, and it's, you know, 10 yards, and we've got to make sure that we get 3 to 4 yards in a cloud of dust, and we have 4 downs to do it. So Cooper came up big for us, and, you know, it wasn't flashy. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't particularly, you know, you're not going to light up the box score with those kinds of numbers, but, you know, that's the kind of team that we have to be sometimes, is the tougher, grittier team, and ultimately we were that through those overtime periods.
So now you move on to the last regular season game, and it's against Taylor, and you need to prepare for Taylor, even though Taylor has had some struggles. They had some COVID situations, I believe, and haven't played a full schedule. You still got to find a way to respect them enough to go out and compete and get better, because you have a sectional coming up. So you have this week to prepare for your last home game, which if you win, you'll be 6-3 and guarantee a winning record. And then we host a sectional game for the first time in a long time. So your plans on this week's preparation and the next week when we're on fall break, that kind of changes up the routine a little bit. What do you have in store for your team these next 2 weeks?
Well, I told my kids today during our game plan meeting after we broke down some film that, you know, we, quite frankly, we're not a team that can overlook anybody. We're never going to be the superior, you know, athletic profile team or anything like that. So we're going to get back to what we do and run our base stuff and make sure that, you know, we win this game purely by aggression. You know, we want to come out and punch Taylor in the mouth over and over and over again and remind ourselves that, you know, in a game like this, every 30 seconds, every 40 seconds is another 7-second battle, and continue to fight that way. And I think that our guys are going to respond to that because it's, you know, their opportunity to really kind of impose their will, especially in the trenches on either side of the ball. And we're not overlooking Taylor. I mean, I kind of gave my coaches a gag order today when they're talking to the kids. We're not going to discuss Lewis Cass this week. We're having internal conversations, you know, as a coaching staff and aligning our plans and everything like that. But we definitely don't want our kids to look ahead or, you know, focus on anything other than the task at hand, which is Taylor. And I think that our kids will respond because, you know, with such a large senior class, this is their last regular season game at Birdo Field, which is a pretty special thing for them. So none of them want to, you know, play poorly in that situation. And everybody wants to make sure that they kind of put the final punctuation on that chapter of their high school careers, you know, in the fashion that they want to. And looking forward to next week. We know, like with an older class, an older team, you know, we know what to expect with practice going on during fall break. And that's just one of the sacrifices that you make as a member of a team, right? You're not always going to have the same opportunities that other people do that choose not to play fall sports. And that's just something that our guys have accepted. But I think they kind of like it, actually, because it's like football is their one thing, right? And I think if you talk to most of our kids, they tell you that, you know, oh man, football practice would be way better if we didn't have to go to school all day first. But that's not to say that we put value in one or over the other or anything like that. But our kids are excited to get back to it and really play, you know, the best brand of football that they possibly can as we go into the playoff, because like we've been talking about how special just any Friday night during the fall is, but sectional week, sectional games on a Friday night is just a different kind of energy. The tension is building, it's that fight or flight, that do or die kind of situation around it that really invokes like a really strong emotional, really strong cathartic experience for not just for the players, but for the fans and anybody involved in it. So it should be pretty special. Like you said, we haven't played a home sectional game since 2017 when we beat Oak Hill 35-7. So we're excited to, hopefully replicate that kind of success.
Well, Coach, I'm sure you'll have a good week of practice this week and finish out the regular season strong. And then you'll have a good week to prepare for your sectional tourney. Congratulations on the win again, and good luck this week.
Thanks, Brian. Go Oracles.
That's all the time we have for this episode of the Oracle Report. Come out and support our student athletes and coaches this and every week. Thanks to Athletic Director Chip Dale and Sue Hartman, our Athletic Executive Assistant, for all the work they do behind the scenes. Thanks to the parents for all they do for our athletes. And thank you, the listeners, for tuning in and rooting for the Oracles. We will be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, keep your Oracle pride revved up. And always remember, it's a great day to be an Oracle.